welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller Podcast for September 26, 2019. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Welcome. Action-packed day full of lies. Here's a question to ask yourself. Here's the question of the day. If you have a really good case, if you have the truth and facts on your side, why do you have to lie? Why would you lie? Would you lie? Of course you wouldn't lie. Yet liberals are lying about the transcript that was released yesterday of the phone call between the president of the United States and the Ukrainian president. I will demonstrate exactly how they are lying. And you can draw your own conclusions from that as to why they feel the need to lie. If you have the truth on your side, you always tell the truth. It's a much easier story to remember. You have to start lying to everybody, then you got to figure out what lie you told people. So we will get into that and so much more. As always, you can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. If you want to enter to win a copy of my book, signed copy of my book, email me there and let me know. I'll do the drawing Thursday night. So the deadline, since today's Thursday, the deadline will be 11 p.m. tonight, Eastern Standard Time. And I'll write whatever you want. I'll email the winner and say, what do you want me to write in this book? And as long as it's not incriminating and it's legal, I'll write it in there for you. You might probably won't be able to read it. My handwriting is god-awful, but I'll write it in there. I got no problem with that. Thank you to all who have entered so far. I had no idea that many people wanted a copy of my book. Go buy it. Go buy it. It's just so damned ridiculous. This whole situation, the Democrats are now plowing forward. It doesn't matter. They were never going to let the facts stand in the way of a good story. They are full of it. And that brings us to our first sponsor, Life Change Tea. It's a game changer. Democrats could use it because it cleans you out. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've noticed I feel so much better. I can't tell you how much more energy I have. How does it work? Life Change Tea is a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse designed to rid your body of harmful intruders. It's a tea that makes you go. And Democrats, like I said, could use it because they are full of it. Let's face it, our food was different 60 years ago. It wasn't this processed crap. It wasn't free of pesticides. It was nourishing and healthy for our body. Today, not so much. Pesticides, herbicides, heavy processing. They've depleted nutrition from our food. It's no wonder you feel run down. I suggest you try it for yourself. Go to getthetea.com now. That's getthetea.com. Get ready for more energy. I drink it every day. I got a gallon of it in the fridge. Use as directed. Follow the instructions. It works that well. Don't overdo it. It lasts a very long time. Life Change Tea is not available in stores. Go to getthetea.com. It's the only place to get it. Getthetea.com. Enter promo code Derek, my name, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, and you get free shipping. Send some to the Democrats up on the Hill with a little note. Said, hey, I hear you're full of it. This will help. Okay, so yesterday the White House released the transcript. It's amazing how the goalposts have moved on this thing. The original story about this so-called scandal was that Donald Trump threatened to withhold aid to Ukraine unless the Ukrainian government investigated Joe Biden. That was the story. This call was supposed to be riddled with references to Joe Biden. 8 times President Trump brought up Joe Biden just out of the blue. And that's not true. 3 times he was mentioned. 3 times. 3 times, fool. Not 8. And the favor, the quid pro quo that we were promised, the if you do this, then we'll do that, promise we were told and reported on that caught this whistleblower off guard and sent him to file a whistleblower complaint, doesn't actually exist. It's kind of an important detail that Democrats can't be bothered to report on, to admit, to acknowledge. And by Democrats, I mean Democrats who are both elected and those who work in the media. I want to, how we want to do this? Let's play the way that this was reported by both MSNBC and CNN. And then I'll read the transcript itself. And you can decide whether or not the way that MSNBC and CNN reported this in any way, shape, or form reflects the reality of the transcript itself. Now, I don't blame these two talking heads you're going to hear on TV. They're news readers. They're teleprompter readers. They're not news readers. They're propagandists. They're Tokyo Rose in this country. The first, we're going to go with Brianna Keeler over at CNN. I doubt she read the transcript. I doubt most of these people actually read the transcript. If they did, they would be embarrassed, or, well, they should be ashamed of themselves in either event. But they don't. You'd be surprised how little information actual news anchors and or reporters bother to avail themselves of. Here's a dirty little secret about the media. Seems like I'm always giving dirty little secrets about the media, but I only do it because it disgusts me. When you see a scientific report, it doesn't matter what it's about, but a scientific report, a big scientific report, if you've ever read one, or a study on healthcare or something like that, these are hundreds of pages. Hundreds of pages. But at the beginning of those hundreds of pages, they put together a summary. Now, the summary is usually a page or two long. Reporters will read parts of, and they also are accompanied with a press release that highlights certain things. Now, if it's a left-wing organization, we'll just stick with the health policy because it's what I know best. We'll say the Kaiser Family Foundation, which is a gigantic left-wing single-payer activist group that is always portrayed by the media as nonpartisan. They'll put out a 500-page report studying data from across the country on Medicaid, the health insurance plan for the poor. Then they'll have a two-page summary of 500 pages. You can't summarize 500 pages in two pages. But they do it, and they do it very specifically, and then they have a one-page press release. And they do both of those very specifically because they want people, meaning journalists who would report on this, to focus on only certain things in their report. Right? So 500 pages of data and report and analysis in there, by the way, when I was doing health policy, there's always good information. They release all their information. They just choose to highlight certain parts of it because, well, they want a certain outcome. So they highlight the parts that make the case they want made. That is all that reporters read. They don't sit down and read the whole thing. Sometimes Robert Pear at the New York Times would read the whole thing, but not very often. Nobody else would ever even consider it. I wouldn't consider it if it wasn't my job at the time. So you get this 500 pages. They pick out their little tidbits of information that may well be contradicted within their report, or there could be something more amazing or shocking or disturbing in the report, and that never gets reported on because journalists don't read beyond the summary. And the summary gets all the attention. So then if you go at the Kaiser Family Foundation and say, hey, you guys are misrepresenting what was in your report, they're not, or you're covering up. You're not, you didn't release this bit of information. They did. It was on page 322. It was mentioned in a footnote, and they just move on because it doesn't make their case. It actually undercuts their case. They acknowledge it and move on. It's kind of like the way the media reports on things that are bad for Democrats. They report it briefly in paragraph 15 and then move on. And then when you say, hey, you guys didn't report on Joe Biden's kid making $50,000 a month in an industry that he had absolutely no knowledge whatsoever. So yeah, we did. We, on a Saturday afternoon, we posted a story, and right there in paragraph 17, there it mentions it, two sentences. We reported on it. I don't know what you're complaining about. Same thing with these reports. So these reporters don't actually read these studies. They don't actually read these transcripts. The anchors on television are overpaid series, essentially. They just regurgitate whatever is in the teleprompter, and then they ask whatever questions are whispered into their ear by producers. Such is the case, I suspect, with Brianna Keeler at CNN. That's only a couple of pages long. My daughter, my two-year-old daughter, could have read this thing, but I doubt Brianna Keeler was bothered with it. So how did Brianna Keeler report on this transcript as the big takeaway. Well, listen for yourself.
A just released transcript of a phone call shows President Trump asking Ukrainian President Zelensky to investigate his political rival, former Vice President Joe Biden. And in this call, the president repeatedly stresses how much the U.S. does for Ukraine. And then he says, quote, "I would like you to do us a favor." The president asks Zelensky to dig up dirt on Biden and his son, Hunter, who sat on the board of a Ukrainian energy company while his dad was vice president.
So if you just got your news from CNN, Brianna Keeler told you that President Trump said, "We do all these great things for Ukraine. We do all these great things for Ukraine. We do all these great things for Ukraine. Now I want you to do us a favor and dig up dirt on Joe Biden." That was CNN's take on the transcript. I'll tell you what the transcript actually says in a second, but it wasn't just CNN. And by the way, these are but one example from each network. They're, every time they talked about it, they talked about it in these terms. I'm just using these examples. Next, we go to MSNBC and Katie Turr, T-U-R, who I'm convinced her family dropped the D from the end of their last names a couple of generations ago. And they're still angry that it existed in the first place. This is how the people who watch MSNBC, this is what they learned about the transcript.
What there is proof of and what there is a paper trail of, because the White House just released it, is a summary or notes of a conversation that the president had with the man that was sitting to his right, the president of Ukraine, where he said, "Will you do me a favor and investigate Vice President Biden's son? Will you do me a favor and get involved in the 2020 election? Vice President Biden is my chief political opponent." At that point, he was leading Donald Trump quite a lot in the polls at the time.
Almost the exact same thing. It's as if the hive mind snapped into practice. "Will you do me a favor and investigate Joe Biden? Will you do me a favor and dig up dirt? Will you do me a favor and do this? Will you do that?" And you think, my God, that is very damning. But what does the transcript actually say? I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's out there. It's only 5 pages. You can read it for yourself. But the relevant portion, because most of it is just, it's normal talk. And I love, by the way, there are conspiracy theorists going on out there going, you know, you can't trust anything from this White House. Who knows what really was said? This is how these phone calls are recorded. They have three people typing them, and then they compare notes afterwards. Three intelligence agents typing the notes as it goes on. And then they get together and they reconstruct it. And that's what this is. Well, what did the president and the president of the Ukraine, Zelensky, actually say to one another? President Trump says, quote, "We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time, much more than the European countries are doing, and they should be helping you more than they are," which goes to bolster President Trump's talk this week about why the aid was held up. Corruption, which they also discuss in Ukraine, and the fact that the European Union isn't doing more, isn't doing enough. Much more than the European Union countries are doing, and they should be helping you more than they are. Germany does almost nothing for you. All they do is talk, and I think it's something that you should really ask them about. When I was speaking to Angela Merkel, she talks Ukraine, but she doesn't do anything. A lot of European countries are the same way, so I think it's something you want to look at. But the United States has been very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily, because things are happening that are not good, but the United States has been very good to Ukraine. President Zelensky, newly elected, says, "Yes, you are absolutely right. Not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. And I can tell you the following. I did talk to Angela Merkel, and I did meet with her. I also met and talked with Macron, and I told them that they are not doing quite as much as they need to be doing on the issues with the sanctions. They are not enforcing the sanctions. They are not working as much as they should work for Ukraine." They're talking about sanctions imposed on Russia over the Russian annexation of the Crimea region. It turns out, and again, President Zelensky, it turns out that though logically the European Union should be our biggest partner, but technically the United States is a much bigger partner than the European Union. And I'm very grateful to you for that, because the United States is doing quite a lot for Ukraine, much more than the European Union, especially when we would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We are ready to continue to cooperate for the next steps. Specifically, we are almost ready to buy more Javelins missiles, military equipment, from the United States for defense purposes. President Trump, now here comes the one sentence that those reporters, in air quotes, I played you, quote. Now, they only quote the first part of the sentence. They don't quote the whole sentence, and they definitely don't quote the sentences after it. This is where it's very important. President Trump, quote, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on and the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you say yesterday, the whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller. An incompetent performance, but they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whenever you can, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. What the president is talking about there is the hacking and the Russian hacking and the alleged Russian involvement in the 2016 election. He's not talking about the 2020 election. And you notice Joe Biden's name hasn't come up. And that's the entirety of the president's answer right there, the response. No mention of Joe Biden. So he says, I would like you to do me a favor, dig up dirt on Joe Biden, is not what the president said at all. But left out of the reporting on the Russia investigation, because it's all done under the guise of the liberal media, is that the Ukraine was involved, as it was alleged to have been involved as well. So the president, by saying, I would like you to work with the Justice Department on this investigation, as the Justice Department investigates what happened with Russia and with Ukraine in regards to how the entire Russian collusion hoax got started, that's what the president is talking about. Not Joe Biden. Joe Biden has not been mentioned. Hunter Biden has not been mentioned. You wouldn't know that if you watched CNN or MSNBC or read the New York Times or the Washington Post. Both of those papers, by the way, will have this quote, the I would like you to do us a favor, though, on their front pages today. They both do. And then they stop. They don't continue the quote for a very good reason. They have an ellipsis, and then they pick up later on, which I'll get to in a second. They connect dots that aren't connected in the call because that fits the narrative. Look, if you take any book or any movie and you just cut out parts and you just decide you're going to re-edit the whole thing, you can remake things into whatever you want. There is a thing out there. I highly recommend that you find this because it's funny on top of illustrating a point. Everybody knows the movie The Shining, whether you've watched the movie The Shining or not. Somebody took the movie The Shining and edited up the movie into a new trailer that changes the movie dramatically. It's sort of a romantic comedy and a father-son story. It's like a coming-of-age story, not a descent into madness story. And they add the Peter Gabriel song that was wildly popular in movie trailers for a while. It's quite hilarious. But it's evidence as to what you can do if you pick and choose the pieces that you choose to show the public. That's exactly what is happening here in this situation. Actually, to hell with it, to illustrate the point, it's only a minute long. Here is, there's a lot of music, but you get the sense of what I'm talking about, what you can do if you pick and choose just the pieces you want to tell somebody. Here's the recut Shining trailer.
Meet Jack Torrance.
I'm outlining a new writing project.
He's a writer looking for inspiration.
Lots of ideas. No good ones.
Meet Danny. He's a kid looking for a dad.
There's hardly anybody to play with around here.
Dad, what's up, Doc?
Jack just can't finish his book.
I don't want to sound melodramatic, but there's no way to make it economically feasible.
Here's to 5 miserable months.
But now, sometimes what we need the most is just around the corner.
I'm your new foster father.
I'd do anything.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill.
I love it.
I could see the city light. My heart going boom, boom, boom. Son, he said, grab your things, I'm going to take you home.
Shining.
Now, that's clearly not the movie The Shining, but everything that is shown during that, and I recommend you find the trailer on YouTube. It's easy to just type in The Shining trailer happy, and it will be the first result. And it is a completely and totally different movie. It's obviously, there's no full movie, but you can create whatever impression you want by what you choose to show your audience. That's exactly what CNN and MSNBC did. Well, I'd like you to do me a favor, dig up dirt on Joe Biden. No, I'd like you to do me a favor. We're investigating what happened in the 2016 election, and I would like you to help with that investigation. Now, they left saying you cannot ask a foreign leader for any kind of favors or whatever. If you're trying to get information about things that happened in a foreign country, is there a better way to get it? And later on, Joe Biden does come up. I'll talk about that in a second. But I just want to ask you if the Democrats are really advocating, if you take them at their word, are they really advocating for no possible investigation of political corruption if the money, the graft, the corruption occurred overseas, because you couldn't possibly go and ask a foreign government to maybe look into whether or not there was corruption? You can't investigate any other way. Everything that happened with the Ukrainian gas and oil company and the rich oligarch who was shoveling truckloads of money to Hunter Biden happened in Ukraine. So, how are we supposed to investigate that otherwise? You have to enlist the help of the Ukrainian government, right? Democrats don't want to talk about that. So then by their own philosophy, whatever anybody related to a politician or tangentially tied to a politician, making money off of the politician or with the help of a politician, as long as the corruption is overseas, it's okay. Well, as Vice President, Joe Biden was the point person for the Obama administration on Ukrainian policy. So sucking up to him is good business. So hiring his son for $50,000 a month is smart, because you might be able to get him to call off a prosecutor, use the pressure of the United States government, which is substantial everywhere in the world, to call off an investigation into the money laundering allegations against the company that is paying your son $50,000 a month, because that's what happened. But of course, the media, the second you mention Joe Biden, they will, like Tourette's, like Pavlovian response, will go, there is no evidence whatsoever of corruption of Joe Biden and anything to do with his son. And how dare you even implicate that, suggest that it's an outrage. None of these places have actually done real investigative work. You know why? Because they'd have to go to Ukraine. They'd have to actually do reporting on the ground over there. The so-called investigation to this point has consisted of, hey, Joe Biden, are you corrupt and did you help your son? No, I did not. All right, well, then check that box. Hey, Hunter Biden, did you use your father's name and position to make yourself rich? No, I didn't. All right, well, we've done all the investigating we possibly can. And if Joe Biden and Hunter Biden say it's not true, it's not true. That's the extent of the investigation. It's all part of a scam. We have a lot more to say on this, but our other sponsor today fits right in here because it is the Trump campaign. Look, every day President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies, as I'm demonstrating right now. He's been exonerated twice and they're still calling for impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. Text the word daily to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll even be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text the word daily to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting the word daily to 88022. Again, text the word daily to 88022. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. Now, these people are horribly, wildly corrupt. Now, when you go to the CNN report or the MSNBC report that I just played for you, what is missing from the, I would like you to do us a favor, to the point that they pick up about Joe Biden and everything, the Federalist has the headline, CNN just yada, yada, yadas, 540 words to frame Trump favor he never requested. Huh? Yes, 544 words between President Trump saying, I would like you to do us a favor, and mention of Joe Biden. 520, that is two-thirds to three-quarters of an op-ed. An op-ed is 750 words. 700 to 750 words in most newspapers. They just gloss over it. They ignore everything I just read you from the President of the United States asking for Ukraine's help in investigating the Ukrainian influence or attempted influence or alleged influence in the 2016 election. Now, CNN and MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, all of them framed the I would like you to do us a favor as asking Ukraine to involve itself in the 2020 election. But the actual favor was in regards to information about things from the past. That's why the president is using words like what happened, you know. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. A direct quote from the President of the United States. That is past tense. There are a lot of things that went on, not there are a lot of things going on or a lot of things about to go on. There are a lot of things that went on, again, referring to the past tense. You can see now why the Democrat media skipped all of this, can't you? Now, to end after what the president said, whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. President Zelensky of Ukraine responds, quote, and this is again being ignored by the media. Yes, it's very important for me and everything that you just mentioned earlier. For me as a president, it's very important, and we are open for any future cooperation. We are ready to open a new page on cooperation and relations between the United States and Ukraine. For that purpose, I just recalled our ambassador from the United States, and will be replaced by a very competent, very experienced ambassador who will work hard on making sure that our two nations are getting closer. I would also like and hope to see him having your trust and your confidence and have personal relations with you so we can cooperate even more so. I will personally tell you that one of my assistants spoke with Mr. Giuliani just recently, and we are hoping very much that Mr. Giuliani will be able to travel to Ukraine, and we will meet once he comes to Ukraine. I just wanted to assure you once again that you have nobody but friends around us. I will make sure that I surround myself with the best and most experienced people. I also wanted to tell you that we are friends. We are great friends. And you, Mr. President, have friends in our country so we can continue our strategic partnership. I also plan to surround myself with great people. And in addition to that investigation, I guarantee as President of the Ukraine that all the investigations will be done openly and candidly. That I can assure you. Now, this is being translated. It's kind of funny. Liberals were going, well, you know, this was a 30-minute phone call, and it only types out to 5 pages. That doesn't take 30 minutes to make that phone call. It does when you realize that there are translators, intermediaries. The president of Ukraine kind of speaks English, but he's in a room full of Ukrainians. The president of the United States, no president of the United States has ever spoken Ukrainian to my knowledge. And they're in the situation room where they handle all calls with foreign leaders. And there, it's on speakerphone, so there's a lot of people listening, including the people typing up the notes. That's all conducted in English. So the intermediaries, it takes a little bit of time. So you just figure this conversation happening twice and however long it takes people to translate it. That's why it was a 30-minute phone call that types out to 5 pages in a transcript. But the left, it doesn't care. The left doesn't want you to know that, doesn't want you to think that. They just want you to say, well, there's obviously stuff was left out of this because it's only 5 pages and the phone call took 30 minutes. Unless they're both speaking very, very slowly in southern drawls, something fishy here, something smells in Denmark. Well, something may smell in Denmark. It probably does. So here goes where it comes up. The phone call continues. The president, after getting a pledge of cooperation for the investigation into how the whole Russian hoax started and the alleged Ukrainian role in the meddling in the 2016 election or attempted meddling, the president says, quote, good. I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good and he was shut down, and that's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that, the way they shut down your very good prosecutor down and had some very bad people involved. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man, and he was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you along with the attorney general. Rudy very much knows what's happening, and he's a very capable guy. If you could speak with him, that would be great. The former ambassador from the United States, the woman was bad news, and the people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news, so I just want to let you know that. The other big thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and that a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. That's it. That's the 3 mentions of Biden throughout the whole phone call. If you can do that too, that would be great. Looking into potential corruption that Joe Biden himself bragged about. Now, President Trump watches Fox News. It's a lot of people on Fox News talking about this. That's what the president was referring to. Not, hey, I need you to do me a favor, dig up dirt on this. I want you to do me a favor and give us all the information you have about your previous government's attempted involvement or involvement in trying to screw around with the 2016 election. Conveniently, all of that was left out in the media. They skipped 540 words to tie together, I want you to do me a favor, dig up dirt on Joe Biden. You wonder why people don't trust the media? It's because the media is completely, totally, 100% untrustworthy. And so are the Democrats. So the Democrats demand, well, this is an outrage. We need to get the transcript of the call. They got the transcript of the call. Said, well, we need to get the whistleblower complaint. We need to speak to the whistleblower. The White House said, go ahead, talk to the whistleblower all you want. The Washington Post reported that the acting chairman of the acting national security advisor, well, he's threatening to resign if he's not allowed to be free and fair and say everything. And the man released a statement saying that he did not in any way, shape or form ever threaten to resign. That is not what he has never been a quitter in his life. And he didn't threaten to quit here. That story was a total and complete lie. Acting director of national intelligence threatened to resign if he could not speak freely, according to the Washington Post. Here's their big story. That's the headline. Threatened to resign if he could not speak freely before Congress on whistleblower complaint. The acting director of national intelligence threatened to resign over concerns that the White House might attempt to force him to stonewall Congress when he testifies Thursday, meaning today, about an explosive whistleblower complaint about the president, according to current and former U.S. officials familiar with the situation. Officials said that Joseph McGuire, who was thrust into the top intelligence post last month, warned the White House that he was not willing to withhold information from Congress, where he is scheduled to testify in open and closed hearings on Thursday. Well, that's the headline. He threatened to resign. Oh, my God, all the tension. Well, McGuire denied that he had done so, is the next paragraph after they added this. McGuire denied that he had done so. In a statement, he said that, quote, at no time have I considered resigning my position since assuming my role on August 16, 2019. I have never quit anything in my life, and I am not going to start now. I am committed to leading the intelligence community to address the diverse and complex threats facing our nation. That's kind of weird. The thrust of the story, the entire point of the story, was that this guy threatened to resign. It's still posted on the Washington Post website. It's their top number five most popular story at the moment. My God, this guy's threatening to resign. Well, there he is on the record saying, I've never threatened to resign. This is all bullshit. But the Washington Post story stands. Oh, they had his little line about, he didn't really threaten to resign. But who cares? They have a current and former U.S. official who said that he did threaten to resign, so that's good enough. Forget the on-the-record comment denying the story. Their anonymous sources tell them something else, so they're running with it. And what the hell would a former U.S. official have any information about this? Where would they get any information about this? Again, another example of fake news. Then you have this situation about the Democrats. They're demanding, we must have not only the whistleblower come up, but we must see the whistleblower report. Well, the White House said, here it is. It's been declassified. It is expected to be released today, I'd assume sometime around 10 a.m. Right now it's 2:43 a.m., so it's not out yet. I can't comment on it. And by the time you hear this, it will likely already be out there. But one thing is interesting about it, again, according to the Washington Post, buried down in the story. Their headline is, Trump offered Ukrainian President Justice Department help in investigation of Biden memo shows. Now, I just read it to you. Did you see that? Was that your takeaway? Then you go down to what paragraph is this? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Oh, it's the eighth paragraph. They managed to bump this up there. He said, the whistleblower complaint focuses large. Now, remember, the whistleblower, the so-called whistleblower, had no firsthand knowledge of this phone call. They did not. They were not in the room when the phone call took place. They did not have access to the transcript. They are alleged to have gotten secondhand information by somebody who allegedly was, although we don't know that to be true either. But it was so disturbing that they had to run off this game of telephone. They had to run off and file a complaint. Oh, my God, the president is threatening our national sovereignty. He's trying to sic the Ukrainian government on Joe Biden and his son. Which, as I've demonstrated by reading the actual transcript to you, did not happen. Still, it's being taken seriously. Now, this gives a little bit more light into, because now once the transcript came out and showed that as garbage, the media started to change their story slightly. They say, well, the whistleblower, yes, it relied on the phone call, but there was more to it. There was more disturbing information that this whistleblower had heard. So it's not, even though the transcript may or may not show anything, there's more to this story. Well, here's a little bit more to the story. Washington Post, paragraph 8. The whistleblower complaint focuses largely on the July 25th call between Trump and Zelensky, which the whistleblower sees as evidence of Trump's effort to pressure the Ukrainian government to investigate his political opponents, according to a person who has read the complaint and spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss its contents, meaning probably Adam Schiff. But the complaint also broadly argues an effort by Trump and his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to pressure Ukrainian officials over time, not just on the July 25th call, this person said. The whistleblower paints a picture, also using public news reports, to suggest that Giuliani pressured Ukrainian officials to further Trump's interest in investigating his political opponents. I'm going to read that part again. That last part, and put special emphasis on the absurd part. The whistleblower paints a picture, also using public news reports, to support that Giuliani pressured Ukrainian officials to further Trump's interest in investigating his political opponents. So part of this whistleblower complaint is the public news reports? Public news reports? That's the evidence that the whistleblower is citing as a pearl-clutching moment, an outrage, an attempt to involve a foreign government in our upcoming election, an invitation to foreign meddling in our election, public news reports. This is really where we are now. Just kind of casually throw that in there. If you remember, during the Mueller investigation, it came out that to get the FISA warrant, the FBI, of course, denied. We didn't even remember that we had the dossier. We didn't use the dossier, and we find out that it was a major part of the dossier, of the FISA application to spy on Americans, was this bit of Clinton campaign-funded opposition research that was cooked up by Russian intelligence agents and fed to Christopher Steele for a ton of money. Hillary spreading money around Russia to get dirt on Donald Trump. That's not foreign meddling. No, not at all. It's acceptable. It's wonderful. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful way to go. The dossier, completely unverified, something to which James Comey himself, St. James Comey, testified to before Congress while under oath. This information was not verified. He also said they didn't really rely on it heavily. Then we find out that they not only did rely on it heavily, they also leaked parts of it to the media, to Michael Isikoff of Yahoo News, I think it was. And then Michael Isikoff wrote up a story about all this information, this dirt, this compromising material that Russia might have on Donald Trump, all from the Steele dossier. Then the people applying for the FISA warrant said, not only do we have this dossier that tells us that this shady bit of action may well have happened, but there are also separate news reports, citing the Michael Isikoff story, suggesting that there is dirt that Russia might have on Donald Trump. Never in the FISA application did the intelligence community note that the news reports were based off the very same dossier. They gave the FISA court the impression that it was a second source. See, we have two sources now saying that the Russians may well have compromising information on Donald Trump. Therefore, we must launch this spying campaign against his presidential campaign. It was planted information by the intelligence community, reported dutifully by reporters, and then cited. So the source gets reported on through back channels anonymously. Michael Isikoff doesn't say this is the Steele dossier in his sources tell me this. And then the FBI says, see, we got two sources now, even though they're really only one source, and it's the unverified dossier. This is all a giant fraud. But again, just like the trailer for The Shining that I played you that makes it seem like a little rom-com, a stepdad or whatever, getting to know his new son kind of feel-good story for the summer, it's all about the information you choose to share. And the media is choosing not to share all the information. That brings me back to the question from the top of the show. If you have a strong case, if you have the truth on your side, why do you have to lie? And make no mistake about it, omission, lie by omission, is a lie. The media is omitting incredibly relevant, exculpatory evidence, information from their reports on this. So you end up with Brianna Keeler and Katie Turd going on their cable networks and saying, the transcript shows the president said, do me a favor, do us a favor, and dig up dirt on Joe Biden. A sane, rational person cannot read the transcript and come away with that impression. A sane, rational, honest person would read the transcript themselves and say, all right, well, that is not what it says. It says something different. The president was asking for Ukraine's help in investigating Ukrainian involvement, the previous Ukrainian government's regime involvement in attempts to interfere in our 2016 election, not dig up dirt and help Donald Trump in the 2020 election. But we don't have an honest, sane media. We have the media that we have. By the way, with all this talk about Joe Biden and his kid making a ton of money, that is blowing Joe Biden's sort of blue-collar lunch bucket Joe. You know, people call me middle-class Joe. Nobody ever called him middle-class Joe. It's blowing that narrative out of the water, and it's starting to have an impact. Politico. The headline, Biden nosedives in early state polls. Joe Biden's poll numbers are crumbling in early nominating states that matter most. Once the dominant frontrunner in the Democratic Party, Biden is now marginally trailing Elizabeth Warren in the first caucus state of Iowa and the first primary state of New Hampshire. His South Carolina firewall shows signs of cracking, and he's losing his once overwhelming lead in Florida, according to a raft of recent polls. The American people, the Democratic voters, they were never really all that in love with Joe Biden because Joe Biden was not differentiating himself from the other candidates out there. So there's only apparently a third-ish of the Democratic Party who goes, I'll vote for an old white guy. Because there's no difference in candidates. Now they're hearing about how one of the, if you're open to this, it doesn't work on me. I suspect it doesn't work on you. But for Democrats, one of the most endearing sort of traits about Joe Biden is his, aw shucks, I'm just a middle class guy, blue collar guy, my whole life sort of story that he's been selling for the 50 years he's been in politics. And while his income hasn't increased significantly until recently after he cashed in on his term as vice president, we're now seeing that his kid was making serious bank about it, and he knew about it. There's no way Joe Biden didn't know about this. You've got a son that's not particularly bright, not exactly a long history of storied accomplishments in his career or his education, who has a cocaine problem, is run out of the military for drug use, who left his wife to date his sister-in-law and then left his sister-in-law to hook up with a woman that he just met. People look at that and they go, wait a second, they're paying this guy $50,000 per month? $50,000 per month? You have any idea how long in my life it took me to make $50,000 per year? You have any idea how many people in this country never will make $50,000 per year, yet Joe Biden's son is making that every month for sitting on the board of a company in an industry that he has no knowledge of, no understanding of? I don't even know if he'd ever been to Ukraine before Joe Biden became the point man for the Obama administration on Ukrainian policy. Yet they drove a Brinks truck up to his house every month and dumped out $50,000 on the lawn and said, here you go. Make sure you tell your dad we said hello. And what happened? The company was under investigation for money laundering. The head of the company, the Ukrainian oligarch who is the head of the company, had some sketchy ties and some issues of himself that were being investigated in Ukraine. Joe Biden sits down and says, I got $1 billion for you, Ukrainian government, but you don't get it. You don't get one dime of it, and I'm going to leave in 6 hours unless you fire this prosecutor because he's corrupt. And they did. And the investigation went away. And our media says, hey, you know what? We looked into this and we didn't find anything wrong with this. The appearance of impropriety used to be enough to cause politicians to recoil in shame. Now they can count on the Democrats and the media to just go, look, we looked into this. No big deal. Just it's totally perfectly fine. Incompetent son making a fortune for a no-show job in a country he doesn't go to, in an industry he knows nothing of. That's perfectly normal. It's not perfectly normal. It could easily become the new norm. Democrats would love it to become the new norm. It would make graft so much easier. If you cannot look into the corrupt practices of U.S. politicians and their families abusing their power on foreign soil simply because it occurred on foreign soil, well, then it's game on. It is the House and Senate Foreign Relations Committee and their spouses and their kids are all going, come on, man, make this the new norm. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Well, this is catching up with Joe. As much as he'd like to think it's the gaffes, he's been making gaffes since he's been breathing oxygen. That's what Joe Biden is. He just makes stuff up, and he hadn't been called on it before. But even when he was being called on it in the last few months, his poll numbers were not dropping. Now they are dropping because the very premise that allows Joe Biden to feel, or an audience member, a receptive Democrat, to feel a kinship with Joe Biden. He's just like me. Why, he's blue collar. He just only recently became rich. He's, you know, sort of lived paycheck to paycheck beforehand. He's just some guy from Scranton. He's Joe who rides the Amtrak train. Well, you find out the kid's making $50,000 a month off of daddy's name. The media, even though they tell you it's no big deal and there's no there, even though they haven't looked, the American people pick up on that stuff. They say something stinks here. Something isn't right. Joe Biden has refused. Yesterday, he held a press conference. It was kind of funny. He came to the podium. He read a statement directly from the teleprompter, did not stray from it because that's when he gets into trouble. And said, this is an outrage that, you know, they do this, but I can handle it. This is politics. This story will fade, so on and so forth. And then he left the room. I don't know why these things are called press conferences. I don't know why the Robert Mueller so-called press conference was called a press conference. Coming out and reading a prepared statement before microphones and then running away without answering any questions, which is what Robert Mueller and Joe Biden did, is not a press conference. It is a press statement. I mean, just I'll read a statement to the press and then I'm running out of the room so nobody can ask me anything. Big, big difference. But, of course, when you're a Democrat, you get big, big differences. You get the benefit of the doubt. You get the most favorable spin humanly possible. Well, that doesn't fly forever with the American people. The American people, even Democratic primary voters, the 30% who were supporting Joe Biden, are looking at this and going, this raises some really interesting questions, some really important questions. And I can't help but notice that Joe Biden isn't taking any questions. Again, if you don't have anything to hide, why are you hiding? On the contrary, on the other side of the aisle, you've got the President of the United States at the United Nations. How many different times has the President taken questions in the past 3 days? It's at least 5 different times, probably more. Every time he's asked a question, walks past a camera in New York, he stops and takes questions, formal press availabilities, with world leaders, with just him, with cabinet members. He has been out there. He has responded to every single question asked of him. That hasn't gone unnoticed either. Again, if you don't have anything to hide, why is Joe Biden hiding? The President of the United States is releasing and has released everything Democrats have absolutely said they demand and they need to know. And they're still accusing him of hiding something. Meanwhile, they're cutting out 540 words from a transcript so that they can make the case that will fit the narrative that they've so carefully crafted in the week leading up to these releases. It is a scam completely, and it's very telling that Joe Biden is being hurt by it more than the president. I have an update from a story I did yesterday that was a follow-up to a story I did last week about the guy who'd raised $1 million, the 24-year-old who apparently works as a security guard at a casino out in Iowa. He raised $1 million because of a sign he held up on ESPN Game Day. Remember that story? The Des Moines Register decided to dig through his old tweets, and they found 2 offensive tweets from when he was 16 years old and decided to report on them, and Anheuser-Busch dropped him, and it was just this whole mess. We have an update on that. It will give you faith in karma. It will make you believe that karma is real. It really will. You're not going to believe this, but given what we were just talking about, it seems like a good a time as any, a perfect time, in fact, to mention our sponsor again. We're just a little over a year away from Election Day 2020, the most important election in American history. This election will determine if America continues down the path toward greatness or if America will spiral down into full-blown socialism at the hands of left-wing radicals who are now trying to impeach the president over lies. But we can't sit back and wait for 2020. You need to take action now. Text the word daily to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. Exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. You'll be the first to know when Trump merchandise is available. You'll also be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. All you've got to do is text the word daily to 88022. If Democrats take back the White House, they'll destroy our booming economy with strangling regulations, and they will continue to prioritize illegal aliens over the safety of you and your family, and the wall will never be finished. You can't let that happen. You can't let them undo everything that has happened and they've worked so hard for. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting the word daily to 88022. Again, text the word daily to 88022. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. Remember yesterday, I told you the story. This is just the most ridiculous and offensive and so typical of the media these days. Carson King, 24 years old, college student at Iowa, big football fan there. He went to college game day and held up a Busch Light supply needs replenishment, and then has his Venmo account up there and raised $43,000 right away. And he, instead of pocketing that money, now the guy is a security guard at a casino and a college student, I suspect $42,000 would be a good chunk of change to him. It's a good chunk of change to anybody. He could have kept it. He could have just lived high on the hog and been extremely ecstatic that suddenly he found himself with $42,000. Instead, he bought one case of Busch Light beer. That was his first mistake. And donated the rest to the children's hospital there. Well, once word of his generosity went out, then the donations really started rolling in. He raised more than $1.1 million for the children's hospital there on the campus of the University of Iowa. Anheuser-Busch partnered with him. They were selling T-shirts that went to the charity, that went to the hospital. They were selling beer cans around the state with his image on them. Now, all the proceeds were going towards the children's hospital. It was a wonderful feel-good story. And then the Des Moines Register decided that they had to do a profile on this guy. And the reporter, a guy named Aaron Calvin, then dug through his old tweets. Mr. King's old tweets, for no reason, they said in the story, in a part of a routine background check. Routine background check? You're doing a profile on a guy, 24 years old, who raised more than $1 million for a children's hospital, and you run a routine background check on him? He's doing something more charitable than you'll ever do in five lifetimes. And you run a background check on him, and you find two offensive tweets from when he was 16 years old back in 2012. When he was a sophomore in high school, and you say, well, this has to be mentioned, but we'll put it near the end of the story. Doesn't matter where you put it out there on the internet. It's out there forever. Anheuser-Busch breaks ties with him, all hell breaks loose, and people are pissed off at the reporter, and rightly so. They're pissed off at the paper, and rightly so. Well, the reporter, Alvin Carter, had a bit of a problem himself. See, this is the old glass houses. This is karma coming to bite you back in the ass. And it's gotten so bad that even the Washington Post itself is reporting on it. They write between 2010 and 2013, now this was all dug up by conservatives, but the liberal media likes to take credit for it. Between 2010 and 2013, Aaron Calvin, the reporter in question, published tweets that used a racist slur for black people, made light of abusing women, used the word gay as a pejorative, and mocked the legalization of same-sex marriage by saying he was, quote, totally going to marry a horse, end quote. Well, these posts, these horribly offensive posts, were brought to the attention of the Des Moines Register, and they tweeted out that they are aware of the offensive posts by their reporter, and they are looking into the incident. Now, they didn't seem to spend a whole lot of time laboring over whether or not to publish the information about Mr. King, about Carson King and his tweets from when he was 16 years old. They discovered, of course, during that routine background check. But what does it say about the Des Moines Register that they run so-called, quote-unquote, routine background checks on people who raise more than $1 million for a children's hospital, but they don't run that same routine background check on reporters they choose to hire to sick on the public? It's karma. There's a petition with more than 100,000 signatures already online calling for the Des Moines Register to apologize to Carson King on the front page of their paper. They may well do that. The Des Moines Register is already suffering from low circulation and budget cuts and near bankruptcy. This might be what pushes them over the edge. And it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. There's common decency and common courtesy. Look, if this guy is a current member of the KKK, that would be relevant to the information out there. But tweets quoting a show that is on Comedy Central still called Tosh.0, when you're 16 years old, when your social media footprint consists of other people in your high school class, Is that really the standard that we're going to hold everybody to? The left would like to. The cancel culture just goes into automatic overdrive when something like this happens. But decent Americans are having enough, and they're standing up to it. And they may claim the Des Moines Register as their next scalp or their first scalp, which might, it's doubtful, but might put the brakes on this whole concept of cancel culture in the first place. I doubt it. The left is too good. They've weaponized it for too long, and they raised too much money from doing it. But it might give the next person like Aaron Calvin a little bit of pause. If you're digging through somebody, if you're doing a puff piece on somebody who's doing incredible good when they didn't have to, you know, real genuine good, and you somehow decide to go through their social media posts and you find something like that, maybe you tell them, hey, you know, I found this. And if I can find this, anybody can find this. You might want to get rid of them. And that should be the end of it. That should be the end of it. You don't report it. Doesn't matter what paragraph you bury it in. You reported it. You did it for purpose. Whatever your purposes are, now you're getting bit in the ass by the same standards. It's easier just to, you know, hold other people to the standards you want to be held to. There's, you know, the golden rule. That doesn't exist in journalism anymore. Maybe we can all sort of force it back into existence. And then we can dance a jig on the grave of the Des Moines Register. That is all the time we have for today. On the show tomorrow, already recorded it, a great interview. Remember, this week started off with climate change, the big climate summit up in New York, Greta Thunbergler running around demanding everything, socialism, full-blown communism because the world is being ended, students breathlessly talking about how they're going to die young and it's all everybody else's fault and we must cede all of our money and liberty to government in the name of saving the planet. Well, I sat down with Mark Moreno, who is perhaps the most knowledgeable person in the country on the issue of climate change and the facts behind it. He has been holding the left accountable for their lies at climatedepot.com for more than a decade. He's incredibly smart, really engaging. It was a great interview. You're going to love it tomorrow. And I'll also announce who wins my signed book. If you want to enter that, email me at derek@dailycaller.com. And yeah, and then we'll have an update on whatever happens between then and now. I assume we'll have the whistleblower report by then and we can talk about that. Otherwise, have a great Thursday. Weekend is almost here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Will you do me a favor and get involved in the 2020 election? Vice President Biden is my chief political opponent.